This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time, every time, every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God a shout of victory. Amen. Open your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm chapter 31. We are in a series called Greater. Say it with me, Greater. And what I want to happen this month is I want there to be an awakening in your life for the greater God has in store for you. I want you at the end of this month to leave closer to God, understanding an awakening on the inside that what God has done in your life thus far is good. But God wants to take you from the good to the great. God doesn't want you to miss the great for settling for the good. I want you to be challenged. I want you to be equipped. I want you to be enriched. I want you to be prepared. And I want you to be ready for that God has greater things in store for you than you've ever experienced thus far in your walk with the Lord. First of all, he wants to do the greater in us. Then he wants to do the greater through us. Then he wants to do the greater for us. He wants to do the greater in us. He wants to give you and I a greater anointing, a greater depth, greater communion, greater revelation of who he is. And then he wants to do greater works through us so that we have a greater legacy, greater impact, greater influence in our city, our state, our nation, and the nations of the earth. And then God has in store for you greater things that hasn't even entered your head. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him. So I believe that if you're expecting this week to be greater than last week, you've got hope. I want to challenge you to believe that the rest of this year is going to be the best of the year for you. And if you do, you have hope. You see, you and I have to have hope. You and I are living our life, but there's an unlived life God wants you to live. Someone said there's two lives, the lives that we're living and the life that is or unliving. I want you and I to move forward, and I want to give you a forward to move forward. You need a fresh word, a rhema word, a right now word. You don't need to go backward. You don't need to live in the past. I was talking to someone this morning in our church, and a sister, and she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, I can't get over my divorce. Show me how to get over my divorce. Show me how to get over my past. I said, I'm glad you're here today because your future is greater than your past. That God has greater things in store for you and me. He wants to do in us. He wants to do through us. And he wants to do for us. So I believe at the end of this month, you're going to have more stamina, more strength, a greater anointing. You're going to have greater energy, greater enthusiasm than when you started this month. Are you in? Let's look at Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great. Everyone say great. Now see, what I'm going to share with you is what the Word says. Not what my denomination, not what others are saying. I don't want a borrowed revelation. I want my own revelation. I don't want someone to tell me about God. I want to know God for myself. I don't want to listen to what the world says or the radio or the television or the internet about God. Why don't we go directly to his book and find out what he says about himself? And God says, how great is the goodness that he has laid up, lay away in store, on reserve, in the wings, waiting, waiting for you and I. You and me, us, we. You see, what you and I today should be working on is what we're waiting for. Do you understand that principle? That you and I should be working on, not wasting our life, but working on what we're waiting for. You and I should be, I said, working on what we're waiting for. That we're not wasting our life, but that we're investing our life. And God says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those, not everybody, but number one, for those who fear, revere, and worship him. And church, I applaud you for investing today in your spiritual growth. You could be anywhere. We got San Diego weather in St. Louis in July. Who said miracles are over? I mean, my goodness, you could be anywhere, but you are investing in your spiritual growth today. You're doing the scripture. You're getting set up. You're positioning yourself for greater things. How do you do that? Number one is through fear. That's not negative. That's positive. That's reverence. Through fearing the Lord, revering the Lord, and worshiping the Lord. You know, the word fear means respect. Have you ever thought about this? Respect. You break it down and it means to remember. Respect means to remember in your past those who have done good for you. When you take inventory and look in the past and remember those people who gave you a break, who believed in you, who did good to you, it grows your respect for that person. Likewise, when you and I remember and count our blessings and all the good things God has done in our life, what does it do by remembering it? It builds and increases our respect for the Lord. So number one, how you and I position ourselves for greater things, if you're a note taker, through gratefulness. Gratefulness. Grateful for what God has already done. You and I are not of the group who are complaining about what they don't have, where they can't go, who they don't know. You and I are of the people that are grateful for every good thing God has done in your life. And that gratefulness positions you for greater things. When Kim and I were raising our boys, you know what? We would never reward grumbling, but we would reward gratefulness. Likewise, our spiritual father, he's not going to reward. He's not going to move us up. He's not going to move us on. We're going to stay stuck and stagnant, and we're going to be in a spiritual rut if we're always focusing on what we can't do, where we can't go, what we don't have, and who we don't know. So number one, it takes what, church? You tell me, I forgot. Gratefulness, okay? So he said, how great is your goodness that you have stored up in reserve on layaway? How great is it? It's for those who fear, revere, worship you. Your goodness, which you've wrought for those who, here's the second qualifier, those who trust in you. Another word for trust is believe. I'm a believer. I wouldn't leave her if... The monkeys. Kim, how could you have a crush on Davy? Have you seen Davy lately? Why would you take... She's not even looking at me. Why would you take that Davy in place of this Davy? I'm a believer, I wouldn't leave her if I, you know, we're believers today, right, church? Oh, yeah, we're Christ followers, we're a part of this great church, Church on the Rock, that's known all over the world. We're believers. Well, how do you judge, how do you know, what are the attributes, what are the characteristics of a believer? How do you know, how do I know I'm really believing? Would you like to know? If we're really believing, then it's changing our behavior. Selah. I said, if we're really believing, it's changing our behavior. If we really believe that God wants to cancel our debt cards, our credit cards, so that we can do more for the kingdom, if we really believe that God wants to deliver us from financial bondage, then when we ask him to do it, if we believe it, we should act like we're free financially. When we come forward for prayer at the altar and we have a sickness in our body and someone anoints us with oil in the name of the Lord, lays hands on us, if we really believe it, then we'll walk away acting like we're healed. You know, if I'm really a believer, I can't come with a frown and leave with a frown. I can come with a frown. I can come down, but I can't leave the same way if I believe the message that God is for me. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good praise. He's worthy. If I really believe that God has the greater ahead of me, then I'll walk with expectation, enthusiasm. I'll have grit. I'll have that inward mental toughness. If I really believe that the rest of this year is going to be the best of our year, if I really believe that the best is ahead of me and not behind me, then I'm going to act like it. I'm going to put my shoulders back and my head up high. But Pastor, my circumstances are opposite of what God said. You can change your circumstances with your faith. And if you are believing, it will change your behavior. If I really believe that God has a better job, a better career, then I'm going to act like I have it before I have it. Does that make sense? Am I communicating, family? So how we position ourselves for greater things. How we position ourselves for the greater that God put greatness on the inside of you. Before you were ever born, Psalm 139, God wired you for a work. God shaped you for service. God formed you with a function. Before you were ever a thought in your parents, God saw greatness in you. And you know, I think, you know, I grew up, we can identify my parents, godly parents. They're both in heaven. My parents, wonderful. They were great examples. They took us to church and they lived it. And my parents, you know, I can't wait to see them again in heaven. But they were of that World War II generation and the Korea War. And my parents, I know they loved me, but not one time did they ever say, "Dave, I believe in you." Not one time. Not one time did they ever say, "Dave, you have greatness in you." Can you relate? Many of you can. Not one time. Oh, they loved me. They provided for me. My father of that generation said, "Dave," his love language was, "You got a roof over your head. You got food on the plate. I love you." That was his love language. But not one time did he ever say, "I believe in you." Not one time did my mom ever say, "I believe in you. You've got greatness." But folks, greater than our natural parent, we have a heavenly parent. Now watch this. Don't miss this. You ready? We're to have faith in God, right? But also we are to get a revelation that God has faith in you. God has faith in you. God believes in you. God put seeds of greatness in you that no one else but he can see. And as you allow him to do the greater in your life, he'll bring forth that greatness that others are ignoring, others aren't rewarding, others aren't recognizing. Yes, for the greater things, we have to have faith in God, but also we have to have faith that God has faith in us. God believes in you. Turn to someone and tell them that. God believes in you. Someone else, tell them, God believes in you. Can we give God praise today, church? So, we got to be grateful, and I know you are. We got to have faith in God. We've got to believe. And if I'm believing, then bless God, it's changing my behavior. It's changing my behavior. Even when my circumstances aren't changing and they're not in line with what God's promised, I can change them by holding my course and by believing what God said, speaking what God has said, I repeat, and standing on what God has said. And then eventually our circumstances will align themselves with the Word of God. How long is it going to take? All your life. You see, I believe if you and I are going to attain our greatness, we have to do it like an ant. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, observe the ant. You see, an ant is slow but steady. We're not called to be grasshoppers, to take jumps to get to our destiny. It's only the process that will bring you the breakthrough. Shortcuts always take us down the wrong road with the wrong people. But you and I are to have the mindset of an ant, slow and steady, and we're going to get there. But if we get impatient, see, ants are patient. You and I have got to be patient in the process and have the mindset of an ant instead of the mindset of a grasshopper. Because what we're working on today is what we're waiting for tomorrow. Abraham Lincoln said, success is when preparation and opportunity collide. And that's what's about to happen in your life. So through gratefulness, and then number two, we position ourselves, hallelujah, through faith in God, believing in what God said. Amen, church? Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27 and verse 13. Let's look at it. What would have happened to me? Oh my goodness. What would have happened to us had we not, fill it in, church, had we not believed? What would have happened to us had we not believed? Well, can you imagine and use your imagination what could happen to you if you believe? When you and I believe God, you know, it doesn't make it easier, but it makes it come to pass. We're still going to have struggles. We're still going to have heartache. We're still going to have opportunities. Believing in God doesn't make it easier, but it does make it come to pass. If you can believe, all things are possible. Can we give God praise? Come on, Church on the Rock. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to believe. And he said, what would have happened to me if I had not believed? Now, to have a great life, let me give you four keys. Number one, you got to have a great purpose. To have a great life, if you're a note taker, it was so precious. I had a teenager, Mark, come to me after the 9 o'clock service out in the lobby at our meetup. And he had his phone. He was taking notes, a teenager, Mark. And he said, Pastor, what was the third point there? What was the second point here? That's encouraging, isn't it? We believe in our young people at Church on the Rock. That tells me that he was listening and he was hungry and he wanted greater things that God had for him. So number one, we got to have a great purpose. Your purpose and my purpose is the plan of God for our life. The safest place for us to be is in the plan of God. The greatest place for us to be is in the plan of God. The happiest place for us to be is in the plan of God. It's huge. You know, Lee Cockrell, he's coming in November to be a guest speaker at our Kingdom Builders Banquet at Whitmore Country Club. And Lee Cockrell is the CEO, he's retired now, of Walt Disney World in Florida with 72,000 employees at Walt Disney World in Orlando. He's retired now. He goes all over the world and speaks on management, leadership, and customer service. I ask everybody on my staff every week, they listen to the podcast. I require it and then a report. They love doing it anyway. But we listen to this podcast by Lee Cockrell. Now, and he said on there this last week or 2 weeks ago, he said, you don't measure success by the size of your house. Now, this is a dude that's got several houses. He said, you don't measure success by the size of your car or the size of your bank account. Here's what he said, Lee Cockrell. He said, you measure success by your happiness. Isn't that good? Because you can have the whole world and lose your soul. You can have everything. How many people do you know that have everything that should make them happy and doesn't make them happy. The attribute of real success is happiness. How happy are you today? The Bible says, happy are those who trust in the Lord. Well, if I'm trusting in the Lord and he's got greater things for me, I am happy no matter what is happening. So we find out you got to have a great purpose to have a great life. Number two, if you're a note taker, you got to have great principles. Great principles. Great principles. If you're a note taker, I'd be taking notes. Great principles. Now, the principles that you and I live by are the promises of God. Yes, church? And there's 7,000 there, and you can't claim, and I can't claim what I don't know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So, number two, if I'm going to have a great life, I got to build it on the rock. I got to hear the word and do the word. And family, we know that when you come to our church, we come to learn. So we come with this in our mind. What is Pastor going to say today from the word that I can apply immediately? That's the mindset. Not what can I, and nobody does this, but what can I disagree with? What don't I like? What's wrong? What's negative? You'll never grow. But if you want to invest in your growth, you come with, what am I going to hear? What am I going to learn that I can apply before I leave the campus? Because I'm not blessed in hearing it, I'm blessed in applying it. So a great life is, number one, great purpose. Number two, great principles. Number three, great power. Boy, I need great power. I need a power greater than myself. I need, it's not by might nor by power natural or by my spirit, but by the Spirit of the Lord, right? It's through the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. How about y'all, family? I need the Holy Spirit to help me go from good to great and not lose the great for settling with the good. I need the Holy Spirit to help me take a risk. I need the Holy Spirit to help me overcome the resistance that's in the world. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to discern what's God and what's me, what's the devil. I need great power to live a greater life. And number four is we need great people in our life. Now, your best friends should be in this church. And your kids' best friends should be in this church. Now, it's got quiet in all three services when I said that. But let me explain. What I mean by that is that if your best friends are here, that if your friends are here, you'll be here. But if your best friends are at the lake, your kids, you want your kids to come to church, so you don't want your kids' best friends to be just at school. You want your kids' best friends to be in our youth group. Yeah, because you and I can't have a great life without great people in our life. Hear me, the voices you are listening to is determining your future. The voices that you're listening to is determining your future. And now can I give you number five to have a greater life? Number one, I forgot, tell me church, was a great purpose. Number two, great principles. Number three, great power. Number four, great people. Can I give you number five on how to have greater? And here it is in this verse. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see? Had I not believed that I would see? What is that, Pastor? For you and I to have a great life, greater things, you have to have a great vision. You have to have a great vision. Show me a Mother Teresa. Show me a Martin Luther King. Show me a Abraham Lincoln. Show me anyone who's done anything great and they had a great vision. You and I will never have greater. You and I will never have God's goodness and greatness in our life until we have a great vision. Now, listen very carefully. It's worth coming to church today on this beautiful day. What's in your face is in your future. I didn't say who's in your face. I said what is in your face is in your future. What is in your face is in your future. So my question to you, my brother and sister, is what's in your face? What are you focused on? What are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? What's your predominant thought? What are you concerned over? What has your affection? What has your emotion? What has your time? What has your resources? What is captivating you? What has got a hold of you? What's in your face will be in your future. Oh my goodness. So you got to have a great vision. Everyone say great vision. You got to have a great vision. Now, that's so important. Notice he said, I believe that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. You got to have a great vision. Can I say it this way? That you've got to have a great vision for your life, and it's got to come from God. Watch this now. Don't miss it. And it's got to be clear. Your vision has to be clear to be great. Now, can I give you a one-liner? You, Pastor, you've given us a bunch of them. Can I give you another one? Yes, sir. That I need clarity for longevity. Without clarity of vision, there's no longevity with my life. For there to be longevity, there's got to be clarity of this great vision. Think about this church. We're going to celebrate this year in November. 34 years ago, Kim and I came here and planted this church. 34 years. And this year we're celebrating it, and Charles Nieman from El Paso is going to be here on that weekend that we celebrate in November. But you know, there's no way that Kim and I could have lasted, could have endured, could have overcome. There's no way we would have been here for 34 years. We had preachers come in and prophesy over us. We had prophets come in and say, you should move here, you should go there, you should do this. We had entrepreneurs come in and say, you should be on the circuit, you should do that, you should do this. What has kept us here over all this period of time? 34 years, longevity. What kept us here and is keeping us here? It's clarity. Clarity of the vision will bring longevity with your life. You don't clap, just pray for us. But Kim and I, we've been married this year 44 years. Just pray for us. 44 years. That's a long time. How could we endure for 44 years? What is the key of longevity to our marriage? It's clarity. She knows who she is in Christ. I know who I am in Christ. We know what we're to do together in Christ. We have individual visions and a corporate vision. And that clarity has kept us together and our marriage getting better for 44 years. My brother and sister, you got to have clarity for longevity. Give the Lord a good praise now. That's huge, isn't it? So number five is, if I want a great life and greater things, I've got to have a great vision. And if the vision isn't clear, I'll get off course when someone gives me a word or someone offends me or they hurt me or they rain on our parade. And you will always have an enemy in the room. Well, I'm feeling it on this side. You will always have an enemy in the room. Don't let your enemy stop you. And so how do we, Pastor, if we don't have clarity, there's no longevity, we won't finish strong, leave a legacy, greater impact, greater influence, greater life. We're living a life, but there's an unlived life we're called to live. I've got to have clarity for longevity. I've got to have a great vision. Let me show you real quick Proverbs 29:18. Can I have just a couple more minutes, y'all? Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, that's vision. Revelation of what? A revelation of God. and a revelation of God, what he wants you to do with your life. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, where there's no clarity. What is revelation? It means something that's been revealed, something hidden revealed. So where there's no clarity, there's no longevity. And how do we notice? He says here that where there is no great vision, we cast off restraint. Otherwise, we'll get off course. We'll give up. We'll be inconsistent. We'll be up and down. We'll be roller coaster Christians. The enemy in the room will stop us, offend us, rain on our parade. Our destiny will be delayed. Disappointment, rejection, prejudice, bigotry, envy, jealousy, all that you and I have to deal with in this world. Notice that if I don't have a great vision, I'll never have a great life, because the vision and the clarity of it gives me longevity to get through every battle life has to offer you and me. Let's read the verse, if we could, in "Happy is he who keeps the law." Notice that if you don't have a great vision, you won't be happy. A great vision, when you realize God's got greater this week for you and me than last week. That next month, August, is going to be greater than July. That next year, should the Lord tarry, I hope he doesn't, it's going to be better than this year. That our best days are ahead. When you have that, you have hope and you have expectation. Family, if you don't have expectation, your faith is idling. If you don't have expectation, if you're not believing and expecting the greater, your faith is idling. Pastor, I want you to show me that in the Bible. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things. There you go. Are you in? We've got to have expectation. If I'm not expecting to get out of debt, if I'm not expecting a greater anointing, if I'm not expecting greater peace in my house, if not I'm not expecting greater fruit, if I'm not expecting, my faith is idling, because my faith needs a goal, hope, expectation. So let's read it in the Message translation. If people can't see what God is doing, if you can't see what God is doing, remember, what's in your face is in your future. If you can't see what God is doing, I've been there, you stumble all over yourself. If you can't see what God's doing, you stumble all over yourself. But when you attend to what God reveals, give your attention, your affection, your emotion every day to the vision. No greater without a great vision. Okay, Pastor, I got it. But Pastor, I don't have a vision. Pastor, I had one, I lost it. Pastor, I had one and people made fun of me and I cast it to the side. Pastor, I know I should have a vision, but Pastor, I'm 70. Let me tell you something. God has greater things for you at 10, 40, 50, 70, 80, 90, 100 years now. God has the greater. It's ahead for you. Pastor, you know, I want a vision. I want clarity. I want that. Pastor, how do I get a vision? Okay, now listen, you ready for this? As the team comes out, whatever we're hearing, we are seeing. Selah. Whatever we're hearing, it's producing what we are seeing. So if all you hear is Fox and CNN and NBC and ABC and the internet and you know, the Instagram and Facebook, if that's all you're hearing, no wonder you have a negative vision and it's not clear and there's no clarity. If you're hanging around negative people and you're hanging around people who rain on your parade and telling you why you can't, no wonder you don't have a clear vision, because what you're hearing is producing what you are seeing. So take heed to what you hear and how you hear, because what you hear and how you hear is determining what you are seeing.